Hello, welcome to St. Paul's. My name is Sally Wallner and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we're so glad. You have a lot of choices right now, so we're glad that you decided to check us out. If you are looking for family or you're looking for freedom, you just might be in the right place. Our mission is to bring everyone in our area of influence closer to Jesus Christ. The experience you're about to have is about an hour long. It's a traditional worship service with lots of hymns. We're going to do some responsive readings. We'll do some prayers, and then the pastor will be talking somewhere in the middle. If you want to fast forward to right where he speaks, that would be just fine. If you prefer contemporary worship, we have another option for you. We hold our bridge service, live stream it. There's a countdown on our website, and also we do Facebook Live, Sunday mornings at 10:15. That one will have a worship band, it'll have videos, and then it'll, of course, have the pastor talking somewhere in the middle. So you might want to check that out too. Both of our services are available on demand on our website. So just want to tell you about a couple things that we've been doing with the challenges of the COVID time. We've assembled a team of community response volunteers, and a couple things they've been doing this week is they have been doing, of course, grocery deliveries, and they also have been encouraging our staff members this week. Along with some of those helpers, our St. Paul's Quilting Club has been making hand-sewn masks, just dozens of them that they've been giving out to people who need them. Our quilting group also has these comfort quilts that they've been giving for people who may need a little bit of extra hug. We show the love of Jesus when we give these, and we also show that friends care at St. Paul's. So I'd like to introduce you now to my good friend and teammate, Dr. Joel Nelson. He and I are going to be organizing a food drive again on May 17th. It's a Sunday from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock. So last one was very successful, so I hope that you'll mark your calendars and come out. Actually, he does all the work. I just invite the volunteers. So, and he has some other things to share with you.
Thanks, Sally. That's not true. She does a lot of the work. Yeah, that first food drive was so successful, and what was really neat about it, it was kind of an intergenerational thing. There were a lot of people of all different ages and a lot of teens and kids that helped out. And what do you think about that? It reminds me, or makes me think of the work that I do here at St. Paul's. A lot of what I do at St. Paul's is with our younger generations. And I just want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to the children and the teens of the congregation for their participating in the worship and doing the things that they still are here. And it's really awesome. And though we had to cancel a bunch of different things, Easter for kids and Kids Club and our confirmation classes for our public school students, we still are thinking about you all the time and caring a lot about you and want you to know that you are a very important part of this congregation. And especially those of you students that are in public schools, we really can't wait till the time that we can have Kids Club again and start the public school confirmation classes on Wednesday. And for those of you that are in the situation where you're in eighth grade or a 12th grade, and you're wondering how in the world all of your graduation, these milestone 2020, class of 2020 moments are going to turn out, I guess all we can say to you is God's got this and He's going to work it out. And our prayers are with you and your families that it'll still be a really awesome milestone experience for you. One thing else I'd like to say is that we've put some resources on our website for children, primarily the elementary age children, on the Kids Club family resources page on our website, and that information will be on the screen for you. But we're posting a weekly lesson that has a bunch of activities and videos and songs that you can work through with your entire family during the whole week to stay connected to Jesus. So again, thanks for being a part of St. Paul's. Thanks for The things that you're doing to serve our community during this tough time, and just rest assured, we love you, we care about you, and we can't wait to see you all again.
Thanks, Joel. Come on in and introduce you to a couple more teammates. This is Pastor Jeffrey Bonach, and I'll let him take it from there.
Thanks, Sally. So great to be here today, to have you with us as we worship. You know, as Dr. Nelson was speaking about the ministry that is still going on with our youth, it's a reminder that even though there's not a lot of people here on campus at this moment, there's still a lot of ministry that's taking place, and maybe even more than we were doing before. And so we want to just take a moment to thank you for your continued financial support. It is extremely important and helpful. And just a reminder, the easiest way to do that, you can either just write out a check, throw it in an envelope in the mail, and send it to St. Paul's, or you can also go to the website, stpaulmuskego.org, / give. So those are the best ways to accomplish that. You know, as this pandemic continues to progress, one of the things that we're hearing more and more is the emotional toll that it's taking on people, the isolation and just kind of the fears and the stresses of everything that's happening. And so we at St. Paul's are very much concerned about how that's impacting both our people and the people in our community. So we've been spending some time looking for resources that would be helpful for you. That's really the first step, I guess. And in the days and weeks to come, you'll find more and more of those resources that will be sent out, probably by Pastor Panitsky through our emails. But we also want to let you know that we're here for you. And if you need someone to talk to, someone just sometimes people just call and just need to vent because of the pressures and the stresses that they're dealing with, or someone to pray with you or share some scripture, we would be happy and glad to do that. And again, you can just contact any one of the pastors and just call the office, the church office, and our extensions are available and you can get a hold of us there. You can probably also see those numbers on the screen. And I'd like to introduce you now to the sermon leader today, and that is Pastor David Keel.
Hello, good to see you again. I am Pastor Keel. I serve as one of the four pastors here at St. Paul's, and I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you through the message today. Since Easter, we've been worshiping under the general theme, if then, if Jesus is alive, then we have every reason to have confidence. And today, with it being Good Shepherd Sunday as well, we can say that if Jesus is alive, then we have a good shepherd to whom we can entrust our souls, our lives, our bodies, really our everything. So come with me in word and song and prayer. Let's worship our good shepherd to whom we can entrust our everything.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, our good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows you and he knows me.
He also knows that our deepest need is for the forgiving and renewing love of our Heavenly Father. That's why he laid down his life for us.
Because that deepest need has been filled, we can approach our Heavenly Father without fear, confessing our sin and asking for his forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Amen.
I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with you, dear Lord, beside me. Your rod and staff my comfort still, your cross before to guide me.
Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd.
You laid down your life for us, the sheep.
Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word,
that we may dwell in your Father's house forevermore.
You live and reign with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now
and forever.
Ready now to grab your Bibles as we take a few moments to open up God's Word and listen to His voice today. Our first lesson comes to us from the book of Acts. Selected verses from Acts 6 and 7. We'll start in chapter 6 of Acts. In this section of Scripture, we are introduced to the ministry of a man called Stephen. Stephen, during his service to the Lord, found his courage and his strength to serve in knowing that his good shepherd was with him all the way. We're going to be starting with Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. Now we drop down to chapter 7, verse 51, where Stephen replies, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me, you stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the Righteous One, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." When the members of the Sanhedrin heard him, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of our God. Our psalm today is Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm. We will read these verses of the psalm responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters.
He refreshes my soul.
He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I invite you now to open up your Bible to John chapter 10, which is the great good shepherd chapter, and read along. We'll read from verses 1 through 10, John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the gospel of our Lord.
He's risen from the dead. Death and To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be praise, glory, and honor now and forever. Amen. God's word before us today is taken from the Apostle Peter's first letter, where we read in chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. If you have your Bible at home and want to open it up and follow along, that would be great. Otherwise, the words will appear on your screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is God's word. Let's pray. In suffering, be your love my peace. In weakness, be your love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be then my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to your side. Amen. We're still basking in the afterglow of Easter, aren't we? It was just 3 weeks ago that we loudly sounded the refrain, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. It was on Good Friday that we watched with tear-filled eyes as our Jesus was nailed to the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But then, 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, we watched as he came forth from his tomb with a dynamic display of power over sin, death, and hell. But all of that seems so long ago, doesn't it? How quickly the COVID-19 pandemic has changed our focus from no Jesus in the tomb to no work, no school, no play, no social proximity, and all the other no-nos that have resulted from the governor's official safer-at-home orders. How this makes us appreciate what the Apostle Paul said to Christians so many centuries ago, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. What hardships are you going through right now? Loss of job? Reduced monthly income? Retirement plans gone? Financial plans shattered? Kids at home? Helping them with their homework? Doing their homework? Wedding plans uncertain? Funerals and burials changed in ways we never imagined? Are you sick? Afraid of getting sick? Are you suffering from cabin fever? Are you lonely? Are you missing those basics of human relationships, things like eye contact and hugs and handshakes and laughing and smiling? Regardless of who we are or what we do, the devil tries to isolate us like a lone lamb on the side of the road to make us feel that we really are all alone. Then we become easy pickings for him as he attacks us with any one of a number of things: fear, doubt, worry, anger, hostility, impatience, and a host of other things. It's at moments like these, my friend, that we need to perk up our ears. Really perk up our ears and listen to our Good Shepherd as he speaks to us in God's Word. Follow me, the Good Shepherd says in today's gospel. Fellow lambs and sheep in Jesus' flock, if he is alive, then we can entrust our souls to his care. We can follow in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd. It's a path of patient suffering. It's a path that has been paved by the perfect sufferer. Peter wrote this letter to Christians living in modern-day Turkey. They were hurting, and hurting bad. Using 21st century lingo, they were being treated like social misfits. Around the water cooler and in the break room at work, they were being laughed at for their Christian behavior. When they got home, they were ridiculed for obeying the government, being faithful in their marriages, for being honest and forthright. They heard it in the subdivision and on the cul-de-sac on warm summer evenings when their neighbors were shooting the breeze. That's why the apostle takes pen to hand and addresses these words to them. It is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Think of it this way. If we have a big project to complete for school, and we do it on time, giving it the appropriate amount of energy and effort, and do it well, what do we expect? If we go about our job faithfully, doing things honestly and by the book, giving it our all for the company, what do we expect? We expect to be commended, right? But if we spend little time writing our term paper, putting little time and energy and effort into it, what do we expect? Not a good grade. If we barely scrape by at work, are lazy and make up presentations on the spot, what do we expect? Not to be considered for a promotion or a raise. That's Peter's point here. You and I are called to be different, to stick out from the rest. We're not just called to sit back and wait for God to pour his blessings into our lap. We're called to suffer. To this you were called, Peter says. When we're being put down for being a Christian, we're called to suffer. When we stand up for God in the face of ridicule and insult, we're called to suffer. God says, it is commendable to bear up under the pain of unjust suffering. Or as another translation puts it, God will bless you if you have to suffer for doing something good. An Italian violinist named Niccolo Paganini was playing a difficult piece of music before a large audience one night, when a string broke on his violin. He continued to play, improvising beautifully. Two more strings broke. forcing him to finish the piece with just one string. When the applause ceased, he nodded to his conductor to begin the encore. He smiled and announced to the crowd, "Paganini and one string." He put the violin under his chin and played the piece one more time. With this incident in mind, Charles Swindoll once wrote, "The longer I live, the more convinced I am that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it." Think of Paul and Silas as they sat in jail in Philippi. No griping, no grousing, no complaining about their suffering. Rather, they used the one string that they had been given. In the midst of their jail time, Scripture says, they prayed and sang hymns to God. Now, I might certainly pray, but I'm not real sure I'd sing. But they did. And the result? The jailer and his entire family were brought to faith in Jesus Christ and were baptized into his saving name. Have we let the suffering caused by the COVID-19 pandemic discourage us, jade us, even immobilize us? My friends, because Jesus came out of the tomb, because Jesus is alive, because he lives in us and for us, we can make use of the one string that we've been given. Keeping time with Christ, we can sing even when the day is dark. That's why Peter writes, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." It's so important that we realize that nowhere in his word does God tell us that our problems will be light or that our burdens will be easy. No, God says, in this world, you will have trouble. Here in our text, Peter reminds us of two powerful truths. One, Jesus suffered for us. And two, he's the perfect example to follow. We walk a path paved by the one who suffered perfectly. If you've ever used tracing paper, you know exactly what Peter means. Jesus is the model to trace in our sufferings. Peter doesn't tell us to draw freehand, trying to come up with our picture or idea of patience. No, he says, copy Jesus, imitate Jesus. That's hard, isn't it? Our patience tends to run short rather than long. Our anger bubbles to the surface without much provocation. Our temper reaches the boiling point pretty quickly. We just don't like suffering. And we don't deal with it very well. The bottom line is, we don't think we deserve it. It's unjust. It's unfair. And so it's critical that we hear what Peter says to us in our text. Jesus committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. In all of Jesus' life, there was no sin. Not once did he miss the bullseye of perfection which God demands of all of us in his law. Perfect thoughts, perfect words, perfect actions all of his life through. "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Jesus asked his accusers at his trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. If we had been in Jesus' sandals, what would we have done? Let me tell you what we would have done. We would have groused and grumbled and complained. We would have organized a protest. We would have filed an appeal. And if any of these things had worked, we would have sought retaliation, trying to get back at those who had caused us so much pain and injustice. Do you know why I say that? I say that because that's what we're doing right now. We're grousing and complaining and grumbling. We're protesting and we're appealing. But not Jesus. Jesus entrusted himself to him who judges justly. For all our sins, Jesus suffered and died. For all our miserable failures to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly, Jesus, like a lamb before is silent, quietly and willingly went to his bloody execution on the cross. And now, so do we. God has not called on any one of us to serve as judge, jury, and executioner to get back at those who have caused us pain and injustice. But God has called on us to pray in the words of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, adding as we forgive those who sin against us. And God urges us always to turn the other cheek. It was God's own Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul to write, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Yes, the path paved for us by the perfect sufferer is one of patient suffering, leaving everything in God's hands. And so Peter gives us one last gospel motivation. He says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Marvel of marvels and miracle of miracles, God did for us what we could never have done for ourselves. In Christ, God removed all of our sins and nailed them to the cross. And in our baptism, God returned us to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We are twice his. We belong to God. And he did it all that we might live for him with different lives, better lives. Lives of patient suffering following in the footsteps of our good shepherd. Fellow redeemed, as the Lamb of God, Jesus suffered and died for you. As the risen Christ, he sets the example for you. If he lives, no, because he lives, you and I can entrust ourselves to the good shepherd. Follow in his footsteps. Amen. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. One of the privileges we have in our worship services is to join together and make a public profession of our Christian faith, letting others know what we believe and the confidence that we have in our triune God. I'd ask you to join with me today as we do that using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we receive through him. We thank you that through his perfect life and his obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all our sins.
We thank you that in his resurrection, we have the promise of life everlasting. And that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty, we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us.
Help us all to believe and trust in you, to love and serve you all the days of our lives. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence.
Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need.
Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Stay.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen, amen.